Sometimes when I say something, things don't happen. Have any of you ever had that problem? Yeah, you wish that just things would happen when you speak, but they don't happen for some reason. And yet there are people in the world who speak that seems like when they speak, things happen. And sometimes quickly. Some people seem to have words of authority. And as we read through the scriptures, we see several examples of people with great power, great authority, kings and pharaohs and so forth. Some people were greatly respected, greatly feared, greatly honored, and whenever they spoke, the people around them reacted immediately. And we also see that when some people spoke, things happened in a positive way, when they spoke with wisdom, with power. And then there were also those individuals who were foolish and weak as leaders, and things just seemed to crumble around them as a result. And yet we read through Scripture that all of this happens. God knew about it, and He has fit it into His will, into His purpose. Exodus records the folly of Pharaoh. And then we also have Daniel recording the brazen boasts of King Nebuchadnezzar and then his humiliation to become nothing. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 tells us, warns us, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. But people, you know, we continue to do what? We continue to boast and brag and say all these things, and we think, well, this is true. It's going to happen because I said it, right? Well, not always so, is it? There was once an influential heavyweight boxer who bragged that he could fly like a butterfly and sting like a bee. You know, some of you who I'm talking about. After several years of popularity, he developed Parkinson's disease. And he spent 30 years in humiliation, and he is now what? He's now dead. No longer flying or stinging, because he is human. 40 years ago, a series of commercials came out. Some of you older folks might remember this one. These commercials were by the second leading investment company bragging about when they talked, everybody listened. You remember those commercials? That company was E.F. Hutton. But in 1985, some dirty laundry came out of the closet. It was found that they were practicing some fraud. And they went from the second leading investment company to out of business today. Vladimir Putin viciously ordered his armed forces to invade the nation of Ukraine in what some thought would be a quick takeover. Today marks 2 months, 2 months since he invaded that country, and some analysts are questioning the real power of that dictator. Is he as powerful as he claims? God has the final say. And we pray for God's will to be done. We pray for an end to this chaos, this ruin. But 2,000 years ago, a man walked on this earth for about 33 years, teaching love, teaching forgiveness, teaching life. Multitudes were drawn to him as he spoke. People would come from great distances to hear this man because he could heal both body and soul. And this person still influences our world today. His word still heals body and soul. And we are here because of his name. Jesus Christ, he is the one who speaks with authority. Jesus is not a has-been, a good guy from 20 centuries ago. He is still God. He did briefly put on human flesh just for a short time. He went to the cross and he went to the grave in our behalf to save us from our rebellion, our sin against God. But he has not stayed in the grave. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered death for us if we will put our trust in him. We celebrate the living Lord, not just today, but I hope and pray and trust that it's every day that we celebrate the God who loves us and is with us. How often? Always. He is still active. When Jesus speaks, creation listens. Are we listening? Are we obeying? That is our challenge today as we consider our relationship with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that we serve a living Savior, the Lord of life, the one who has conquered the grave, the one who revealed himself to his disciples, and the one who still reveals himself to us if we will open our hearts to him. We thank you for hope and promise and life because of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, all which penetrates into the innermost parts of our thinking, our being. We thank you that you are able to change us when we submit to your will. Father, help us to have open hearts and open minds to you constantly. Be with us as we consider just a portion of your word today, to remember that all creation listens to you, and we are part of that creation, and we need to listen to you willingly. Father, let us be your people. Let us spread the good news of hope and life through Jesus with those around us. Motivate us, empower us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All creation hears is the central thought that I want to focus on today as we return back a few chapters in the book of Mark to chapter 11, picking up at verse 12 where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 12. Let's read this text, and I'm going to read straight through to verse 26, even though we're just going to focus on the first and the last part of this text. On the next day, this is speaking after they have gone to Jerusalem and then retired for the evening at Bethany. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in the leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a robber's den." The chief priests and the scribes heard this, and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they would go out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to him, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." Now, Mark is an interesting book, and some of you may have had a verse or two there down in the footnotes, because in the ancient manuscripts, a couple of those verses aren't in the original. However, they are included in other passages, and they do not contradict any of the other passages where the statement is clearly made in relation to our prayers. So don't let that scare your faith. Don't let that shake your faith in God's Word. Today I want to focus on all creation hears. The first thought I want to deal with is that Jesus knows what humans need. A lot of people think, well, He was God. He doesn't understand me. He hasn't been through what I've been. Well, let's just think about His life for a moment. The time that He came into this Word, the Word of God put on human flesh of humanity to be with us. John opens his gospel with the statement that even though He was God, He became man. He was born into what kind of a family? What type of a culture? He was born into poverty. Into poverty. In a poor family from a village with very poor reputation. He was about in the boonies. He grew up in a little town that had a reputation that everybody thought, "You're from there? Ooh. Sorry, we can't hire you." And yet Jesus grew up in that culture perfectly, righteously. Not only did He have a surroundings of poor family life, I'm talking about financially poor, and a city that was bad reputation, the Romans and the Jewish leadership oppressed those poor people. The Roman and Jewish oppression was heavy on the people, with high taxes, and the foot of the government essentially was on their neck, holding them down, keeping the public in submission. We read about that in Matthew over and over again. Anywhere they went, they were likely to run into a Roman soldier who could demand that they carry their luggage for a mile. You had to drop everything you were doing and immediately obey. You could be going down the road and come to the entrance of a city, and there was this guy named Levi, also known as Matthew. What was his profession? Tax collectors. They were constantly paying taxes. The trouble was everywhere. We could go on and on talking about the hardships that they faced. Jesus knew about hard work. What was His father? He was a carpenter. And so Jesus was a carpenter's son. And in a sense, you might say they were kind of in the profession that Noah and his family took up for a while. And Jesus knew about gopher wood. Because Dad would say, "I need some wood, go for it." And Jesus Himself took up the trade, becoming a carpenter until His ministry began at age 30. There's a lot of work that can take place between age 1, 2, 4, or whatever you want to start, and age 30. And remember, in those days, it was all hand labor. No electricity, no gas motors. Everything was done by hand. You had to work. Who's going to cut down the trees? You. What are you going to cut it with? An axe? What are you going to do with that tree? You've got to cut it up. You've got to saw it. You've got to carry it. You've got to shape it. You've got to mold it. You've got to put it where it needs to be. You are involved in hard work. a little bit more about the carpenter. Did he just work with lumber? A skilled carpenter is also known to work with stone and some metal. So it wasn't just cutting boards. It was also shaping rock and making sure the wood and the stone joined together. And sometimes working with some metal to get the things to work together. Jesus knew hard work. Jesus knew how to sweat. Jesus traveled everywhere he went, all mostly by what? Foot. By foot. The only exceptions that I have seen in Scripture, recorded in Scripture, was possibly his infancy. Jesus was not born a walking baby. Even though he was God in human flesh, he did not know how to walk. He had to learn how to walk. So who's going to carry that little baby? Mama or daddy? Or maybe a friend, maybe an aunt, maybe an uncle. So in his infancy, Jesus didn't have to walk. His triumphal entry records that he rode into town on the colt of a donkey. No other time in Scripture does it record Jesus rode any animals. And then there's one other situation where Jesus didn't have to walk, when he rode in a boat. And one time he decided he didn't need to ride in the boat. Amazing. Who needs a boat when you got 2 feet? Jesus walked and walked and walked everywhere he went. As a matter of fact, the day before this passage of Scripture, he had walked from Jericho up the mountain, an 8 to 9 hour trip, and then 2 miles back to Bethany. So we know he had at least 10 miles of walking the day before. How many of you walk 10 miles a day? Uphill. Jesus knew work. He knew what it was like to be tired. And then, in our passage, he walks from Bethany back into Jerusalem. Now, an interesting thing is the Mount of Olives was a hill between Jerusalem, a valley, and then Mount of Olives, and then Bethany was on the back side of this Mount of Olives. Going into Jerusalem, you generally went over the top of the Mount of Olives because it was the shortest distance and easiest route. But coming back from Jerusalem, you'd come down through the valley of the Kidron and then go around the mountain the easier route to get home. So in our text here, it says that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and it wasn't until the next day that the disciples noticed it. That's because they probably came back to Bethany that night by a different route. Just a little bit of side note there. 2 miles to Bethany, a suburb of Jerusalem. It's now Monday morning. And he's walking from Bethany back to Jerusalem over the Mount of Olives, headed to Jerusalem. And Jesus experienced what? Hunger. Jesus got hungry. Just like any other person, any other human being does. His physical body required nourishment just as much as ours. Just a little side note. Jesus did not allow his physical needs to lead him into the sins of gluttony, laziness, and self-reliance that some people like me have done from time to time. Jesus was without any sin, including how he dealt with his physical needs and hunger itself. Jesus taught and lived by the principle that our daily food comes from where? Our Father in heaven. And to give thanks to God. God sustains us. God is the source. give thanks to the Lord in everything. He is the one who preserves us. So Jesus gets hungry, and he looks to God's provision. Jesus began looking for a way to satisfy his physical hunger. But at the same time, he is going to provide a lesson of faith for his disciples, the disciples watching him, and for us today as we read the scripture. Jesus had a long-term plan. He was always working his plan. Jesus gives relief to everyone who believes in him. He invites everyone to find rest, to find his understanding, to find his betterment, to find his peace, to find his life, and so much more. He wants to give us all of the blessings of God. And so he is with his disciples, and he is teaching them part of the process of finding relief. Jesus knows what humans need, and Jesus fulfills meeting those human needs. We could talk more about how much he experienced of life, how he probably knows life better than us. After all, who created all things? The Word of God. Who is the Word? Jesus. Let's go on to the second point. Jesus went out of his way for each one of us. He went out of his way. Jesus, we read, spent personal time with his disciples at Bethany. Now, just possibly 2 to 3 weeks earlier, I'm not quite sure on the exact time frame, but about several days before this, John chapter 11 records that Jesus did a special miracle at Bethany. He raised Lazarus from the grave. How long had Lazarus been in the grave? 4 days. So Bethany was a special place. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are there. And the passage in John says that because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the grave, the Jews were plotting a way to kill him. Because they didn't like that. That was good news. Jesus had power in his words, and they didn't like that. And not only were they plotting the death of Lazarus, they were plotting the death of who? Jesus himself. But Jesus spent personal time with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha over in Bethany. He had raised Lazarus just several days before, and Lazarus was enjoying life. In John chapter 12, it records that Jesus is having supper with this family group. He's not just out at Bethany staying in a local hotel. He's staying with the disciples, the ones that he had been with, the ones that he had raised from the dead. It is at this occasion that Mary breaks open a bottle of costly perfume and pours it on his head, Judas Iscariot kind of reveals his true colors. What are you doing wasting money? What are you doing wasting that perfume on Jesus? And Jesus tells him, she's preparing me for my burial. They didn't catch on, did they? Jesus is with his loved ones. Jesus could have found disciples in Jerusalem to stay with and save that 2-mile trip back and forth. But no, Jesus had a plan. And Jesus is following his plan. So he walks the 2 miles back to Bethany and the 2 miles back to Jerusalem, back and forth each day. Jesus went out of his way to the fig tree. Now, he has just left Bethany, and how many of you usually eat breakfast before you leave your house in the morning? Or eat something if you're hungry? Did Jesus forget to eat in the morning. Maybe he was so busy. We don't know what the circumstances were, but he became hungry. But he's got a plan. He's preparing to give some lessons. He could have sent his disciples over to the fig tree. Hey, guys, go over there and check that fig tree. Get some figs off of it for me. Did he do that? No. If you remember back in Samaria, when they were walking through Samaria, they stopped at the well, and he sent the disciples. The disciples went into town to get food, and Jesus stayed behind to fulfill his plan to visit with the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, to give us some lessons there. But no, Jesus, he walks over to the tree to look. He had a plan. The creator of all things went out of season. Mark says that, hey, it wasn't the season for figs. And the creator doesn't know that it's not the season. The creator has a plan. An interesting note is that most fig trees put on figs as they are putting on leaves. And I've got a picture, you can't see it, it's behind the block. As the leaves come out, the figs come out. And so Jesus sees this fig tree, and what does it have all over it? Leaves. So he goes to it. But there's a plan behind what he's going to do. Jesus reveals his power, the power of his words, by giving another visual demonstration to his disciples. This is his plan, to show these guys he is power in human flesh. His disciples need to learn. Don't we need to learn? Jesus is united with his Father in all things, believing in God the Father, acting in the power and the righteousness of God the Father, because he himself is God, one with the Father. And he shares with us, teaches us, that we who believe in God and work in his will are assured that God will fulfill whose prayers? Our prayers, if we walk in righteousness and act in the will of our Father. You need this mountain to move. If it's part of the ministry of God, it will move if you say move. But make sure it's in the will of the Father. That's a powerful lesson in itself. When we pray, do we pray within the will of the Father? Not my will, but yours be done. Do we think the thoughts of our Father, of our Savior? When we pray, get your mind straight and believe and trust, and God will fulfill your prayer. Jesus left heaven's perfection to redeem us from death. God's love for humanity is so great that he personally went out of his way and he made a way for us to return back into fellowship with him. Jesus is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. I got that mixed up, didn't I? Just checking. But he is the one that we must put our trust in. He is the only way made by God for us to enjoy the eternal life, eternal fellowship with him. Jesus went out of his way because he loves us. So many times in his ministry, he did things as lessons for us. And we need to take time to learn those lessons. We see in the third point, that the word of Jesus is final. When Jesus speaks, it is final. It will happen exactly as he says. You know, there are many people who think that they can get in the last word and the final say. Has it ever bothered you when you're in a conversation, you think the conversation's done, and the other person just has to say one more thing? A lot of people are going to be having a rude awakening when they're in heaven when they don't get the last word. Who has the final word? God. Have we found ourselves arguing with God? But God, I need to tell you. Oh, you mean God didn't know? Be careful. Jesus has the final say. The fig tree died immediately from the curse that Jesus placed upon it. The record that is in Matthew chapter 21, verse 19, Matthew says the disciples saw it begin to wither. Mark gives the interesting statement that where did it wither? In which direction? From the roots up. Now, usually if you have hot weather and you have a vegetation out there, what withers first? It's usually the leaves, the outer extremities that aren't getting enough water, and they wither down to the root. Mark makes this interesting distinction. It withered immediately from the roots up. It died. There was no hope for it, just as Jesus said. It became unproductive instantly because the Creator commanded it to die. We read in here that Jesus went on to the temple, and we see that the Jewish leaders feared the power of the words of Jesus. Verse 18 speaks to their weakness, that they practice lies and deceit compared to the truth and the wisdom of this carpenter from Nazareth. How in the world do you, a podunk guy from nowhere, know how God works? And they could never outwit Jesus. Why? Because he wasn't just a carpenter from Nazareth. He was the King from heaven. Every effort they made in argument against Jesus to trick him, to deceive him, it failed. Now, we are in the last 4 days of the life of Jesus before his crucifixion in this passage. And they are going to make many more efforts to trick him, to deceive him in these coming 3 days. Now, he has just chased out their source of income from the temple, and yet they fear him. Because why? They know in their hearts he's speaking truth, and all they have is greed, deceit, and lust. So they fear him, and they plot a way to get rid of him. After his resurrection, Jesus declared that he has how much authority? All authority, all power had been given to him in heaven and on earth. Revelation presents Jesus as the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with power and life over every single one of us. He has the final say for our future. If the fig tree died immediately on his curse, what will happen to us if we are found on his bad side? This is the warning of Scripture. Listen to God. Obey God. And find life. He wants us to have life, not death. Jesus wants to share his power with his disciples. Think of that. He wants to share his power with his disciples. In the cursing of the fig tree, it was a lesson to teach us that if we believe in the power of God, that God will answer our prayers? Your words have authority from that is supported by God? Yes. If you walk with God, God gives you power. Use it wisely. Use it wholly. When we walk in the words of Jesus Christ and think His thoughts, then our words will be fulfilled by God Himself. Do we believe this promise of Jesus? Do we walk in that promise of Jesus? We need to be a bold people as we walk with Jesus Christ. Our world is dying around us. Our world is withering around us. But you have the living water. You have the words of Jesus. You have the Lord of life on your side. And we can walk in victory through Jesus. All creation hears. Are we listening? Are we staying in touch with Jesus? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is with us how often? Always. Protecting, helping, strengthening, empowering us, providing for us. He has proven His love for us. He has conquered the grave for us. He's coming back for who? For us. We are His people. Another term, we are the sheep of His pasture. But are we following? Are we listening to the Good Shepherd? Are we walking in faith in Him? All creation hears Him. He's coming back. Let's be ready. Let's bring with us many other people. Share the good news. Share the power of Jesus. Share the redemption of Jesus with those around you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for these examples of Jesus. He's calmed a storm with His words. He withered a tree with His words, and He has the final say over our eternity. Father, I pray that we will be found faithful and true so that the words of Jesus will be, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of Your Master. Father, help us to encourage one another to be Your people. Be bold, to be listening for Your Spirit's direction, guidance, to share the message of hope and life in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.